Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Carl Gruer. My name's Corin, I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your telephone and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded for replay purposes, and now I'd like to hand over to Carl. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Corin. Good afternoon, Wessex. This is Carl Gruer. I'm the operations manager for Wessex Outer. Apologies for the slightly late start. That was due to me. Here we are. It's Tuesday. It's 12:30, and it's a chance for us effectively to chew the fat, I guess, on the issue of safety, something which I think is all close to our hearts and something which effectively should ooze through every single bone within our body. So an official welcome to that. Just to tip people off, there will be an opportunity for questions later on. I appreciate it is quite nerve-wracking sometimes coming on and asking a question. You are welcome to email me those. My email address is Carl with a K, .Gruer, which is Golf Romeo Echo Whiskey Alpha Romeo at networkrail.co.uk. You can look up Carl Gruer in the Outlook. You will find it there, and I will check my emails just before the end to see if any questions have come in online with any matters, observations, questions, queries about safety, but there will be the facility within the calls to press star one at an appropriate opportunity, and you will be facilitated to answer or to ask a question. So I am the operations manager for Wessex Outer. I am one of two on the route. There is an operations manager for Wessex Inner by the name of Ben Rudkin. What does that mean, and what do we do, and what does safety mean to us? It's quite an interesting one. We've all got job titles, and as I have as an operations manager, but what does that mean in plain English? Well, effectively, I am responsible on the outer part of the route, so that is everywhere west of Farnborough and everywhere south of Liphook for the operational railway, for the safe running of it, for the performance. And that is as far as the eye can see, as far as Wessex goes. So before we drop into the sea in Dorset at Weymouth, that is where I go to in terms of signal boxes. I think my furthest outpost is Yeovil Pen Mill, which still has a box cap on the payroll there. So it is a wide and diverse area. And what it doesn't have in terms of, I suppose, intensity of train service, which the inner area does, it makes up for more than enough in terms of geographical expanse. So essentially, safety for me, it will involve the safe delivery of the operational railway, ensuring a good start-up in the morning, ensuring all boxes, and also the mobile operations manager's position are manned, so that if things do go wrong, we can manage things accordingly. I suppose me and the operations manager for the inner are effectively the professional heads of operations on the route. So when it comes to applying the rule book, when it comes to interpreting new rules, and effectively discussing ones to be brought in, which coincidentally is where I am today. So Wessex Safety Hour is coming to you live from Westwood. That is effectively which we involve ourselves in those tasks. Essentially, as well, we will get involved with investigations. So if you write an investigation in whichever function, you can probably bet your bottom dollar that either myself or Ben, the ops manager for the inner, is on a, not on a panel, but is on a group of people who investigations are sent to comment on for investigations, to effectively just provide another eye, I suppose, on the railway when we have things which don't go to plan. So that's who I am. That's what I do. Safety to me. Effectively, a safe railway is a well-performing railway, and I know that's easily trotted out, but it kind of makes sense. So if we have an irregularity of some sort, you can bet your bottom dollar that either the train service will stop or it will be disrupted, and that will affect our performance figures for the day. So easier said than done, I know, but the trick is not to have any safety events. Speaking of which, over the last week, I should just go through a couple of these just for your interest. So on last week's safety hour attendance, we hit 70%, which is getting ever closer to the magical 75. So don't forget to send your returns into Brooke, either via the email or on the app, which is available from the Wessex App Store. There were 76 close calls reported last week. So again, it is available on iPhones, on iPads, and essentially you can ring the telephone number in Milton Keynes as well. Incidents from last week. So just to go through, so this is the week from the 7th of March until the 13th. So just to give you an overview of what's happened across the routes and what various people are now busying themselves with and various reports they're writing. On the 7th of March, a member of the Havant S&T team was stepping over the running rail and conrail from the forefoot to the cess when he felt a sharp pain in his right calf muscle and subsequently had difficulty walking. It's an interesting one, calf strains, muscle strains. Do you check before you put the leading foot down what you are actually stepping on, or are we blindly stepping across rails? Obviously this will be investigated in this instance, and it's not to say that happened there, but just as a reminder to ourselves, are we looking where we're putting our feet? Because it wouldn't take the odd step of a foot to make sure that you were hurtling down an embankment, and it's more difficult in the dark, I get that, but one to take extra care of. On the 9th of March at Felton Station, off-track manager reported that a member of the Felton P-Way was loading 12-foot by 4-foot GRP sheets onto a flatbed pickup. The sheet slipped and his right ring finger was momentarily crushed. On the 9th, the same day, a member of staff was reversing a network rail van back from an RRV access and reversed into an unlit black painted railing, which was not picked up by the van's reverse sensors. That's a really interesting one. So, in terms of an assessment, do we think it's appropriate to have a black railing, I suppose, in an area where someone's reversing in the dark and it doesn't get picked up with the sensors? I appreciate you can't do anything with the technology of the last one, but have we created a safe environment? Do the railings, do they need some fluorescent stickers on them? Can we go back and look at that one? Unfortunately, the location's not in the log, but I know it is. It has been logged in terms of an incident, so I've no doubt the appropriate people are looking at that. And if you've got a person with you, well, would it do any harm to get them to act as a banksman to allow you to reverse out safely? All of these things, again, just thinking about how we can, every single time and every single minute of the day, do things as safely as we possibly can. Clapham Junction, quite a serious one on the 10th of March. 5 Sierra 39 reported a near miss just coming onto the Upwinter Fast Line with a member of P-Way staff who walked out in front of the train about 4 metres away. 13th of March, Purbright Junction, Farnborough Stations. Pycock reported that a strap had been left in place at 32 miles 47 chain, post possession for item 34, and shorted out when the current was restored. It sounds really... when you follow a process and you have something like an isolation document and it has on there that there are 6 strapping locations, you count them in and you count them out every time. So a conversation will have been had in that instance where the PICOP spoke to the electrical control room operator, and the PICOP would have advised that all short circuiting straps had been lifted, all men and materials were clear of the line and it was fit for open running, and it wasn't the case. Because somewhere, someone along the line, they counted them out, but they didn't count back in. So again, following the process, essentially the strap did its job. It would have shorted out the traction current and tripped the circuit breakers in the relevant electrical section. But again, it's that thing about a safe performing railway is a good performing railway. So potentially delayed the start of the train service whilst we worked out what went on. Just one to think about if your daily tasks involves applying and removing short-circuiting straps. 13th of March on the same day, Cosham Junction, a P-Way section manager at Havant reported a staff accident involving a Ganymede contractor who felt a twinge in his back when shoveling ballast. The injury was deemed to have occurred from the previous weekend whilst he was playing football. So have you reported to your line manager that if you're potentially feeling slightly weak, if you've done something to your back or a part of your body, are they fully aware of it? Have we spoken about it? Because it might be the case that if your job that night is shoveling concrete, it might not be the best use of not your time, but the best place to put you in. So again, always having the open conversations. Just a couple of other things what happened in the week, just so you're aware, so that we don't get accused in operations of ignoring things. So on the 9th of March at Portsmouth and Southsea, 2 November 27 passed Hotel Tango 59 single signal, which is a Hotel Tango, it's Havant signal box. It passed it at danger in a Cathay SPAD without authority. The driver admitted the error. 2 November 27, a GTR service from Brighton to Portsmouth. The form shows that on approach to the signal, the driver brought the speed down to 25 miles an hour, acknowledged the AWS, and passed the signal at danger. There was no allegation against the signal. At the moment, it is being investigated. The initial cause was a loss of concentration, and the signal the train passed the signal by half a coast length, and it was eventually stopped by TPWS. And the Haven Box TO reported that the signalling was working correctly upon viewing the data supply. And the only other one to say here, which is it was slightly off our route, but close enough for it to be virtually on it, and this was in the Wimbledon area. This was where effectively it was in possessions again, so we received a report that the traction current had tripped on recharging the bound sent Helier. And this was actually an electrical section under the control of Sellers Electrical Control Room, so officially Sussex Route. They'd been advised that the problem was caused due to the hook switch being closed after the work it was completed when it should have been left in the open position. So essentially, what's happened here is when you have a feeding diagram, you should return all switches and breakers, I suppose, as well, to the appropriate position when you finish with them. So in this instance, it was put into the wrong position, and when re-energized, the earthing has worked as designed and it's tripped out the traction current. Interestingly enough as well, and this goes to show that every little detail matters, Selhurst Mom at the country end of Wimbledon Station, 8 o'clock in the morning on the up, sent Helier, inspected 1563 hook switch and found it to be open. He also added that it appeared to be new and noted that the identification plate was missing the number 1, and so instead of reading 1563, read 563. It's one of those things. It's a very small detail, but you know what? It matters. Get it reported if you see it, because that could be the difference between, you know, having an irregularity and not having an irregularity. And I suppose in that respect as well, every single detail matters. That's just an idea of some of the incidents which have happened this week. Again, when you're queued, feel free to email me. It's Carl Grewer. You'll find me in Outlook. There is only one. And don't forget, at the appropriate time, you can press *1 to ask a question. I thought I'd just mention something I saw this morning. It will sound like a slightly rambling story, but there is a point to it. So I come to Westwood today. I left my hometown at about 6 o'clock. And my train on its way to Westwood went through Gatwick Airport Station, and I'm, bear in mind, sat there at this point in a big jacket, in one of those hats which John Candy wears in Planes, Trains and Automobiles, and kind of huddled around the heater on the train like some poor unfortunate, pulling to Gatwick Airport Station, and a chap gets on the train. He's obviously fresh from a holiday, very tanned. If you look at the top half of him, he was tanned. There with his wife, massive case, obviously flown overnight, but the guy had shorts on. And by this point, it's 6:30 in the morning, I'm dressed like, you know, I'm going on an Arctic expedition. And as I said, sitting effectively on top of the heater, and he's there, and he's got legs kind of that corned beef colour. And I just thought about the appropriateness of his attire, and it got me thinking about what I was obviously going to come and do today and speak about safety and share the Wessex Safety Hour. And thought, do you plan what kind of clothing you're going to wear? I appreciate this is an extreme. This is a guy on the station who was effectively flown in from somewhere like the Caribbean, and it's -1 degree in the UK, and he's wearing shorts. And I did think about attire, because last week, on a route not too far away from us, cab ride being taken, and a person walking along the cess as an IWA, speaking in acronyms, individual working alone for the uninitiated, and this person wasn't wearing full PE. They were missing a hard hat. Now, we all know the CESS were attempting to clean up the railway to have, you know, scrap rail removed to remove obstacles, but we know that if you're going to have a slip, trip and a fall, the chances of it happening on a flat surface as opposed to in the CESS are probably slightly higher in the CESS. And this individual, again, he wasn't wearing a safety hat. And I appreciate there's a slight bit of humour and tongue-in-cheek with the guy with his corned beef legs on Gatwick Airport Station, but have you taken a moment to plan ahead and think what you will be wearing at the appropriate moment, at the appropriate time? Because I must this morning, looking at that guy, he must have been absolutely freezing. So I just thought I'd throw that in, because there was a real point to that, in that no matter how many briefings we put out, no matter how many people sign up to it, no matter how many signatures you put on the sheet, saying you will wear a seatbelt, you will not speed, you will wear the appropriate PPE, people still are not doing it. And I'd be interested to know what people thought about that and what other avenues, methods, tools we could use to hammer the system home even further. Because it feels like, you know, with all good intentions, we all sign up to it. People like me, people like you, passionately believe it. And yet Milton Keynes, as a headquarters, gets at least a dozen, two dozen pictures of people up and down the country every week in Network Rail vehicles supplied by the civils police of people not wearing seatbelts, as an example. What more can we do? I'd appreciate your thoughts on that. Right, I think I've whittled on enough. I've taken 18 minutes of your time, and rather it not be a monologue, it would obviously be great to listen to any questions you may have. I appreciate it's not the easiest thing to do, but if I can't answer the question, it will be passed on, and you will get a response. As I said, don't forget at the end of the call to make sure that any figures for attendance for Safety Hour are passed on through the appropriate channel, so either by the email in response to Brooke, which he will send out in due course, or if you want to preempt that, you can send it via the Wessex app. And I think I'd like to open for questions, Corin.
Thank you, Carl. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, simply key *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you want to withdraw your question, simply key *2. All questions will be answered in the order received and you will be advised when to ask your question whilst all other lines will remain on listen only. So just to remind you, *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Thank you.
To see if any more questions come through. As I said, I appreciate it. It's not the easiest thing to do. It feels like the spotlight is being put on you slightly, but I promise I don't bite. You are able to email me if you want, if you feel that you would prefer that. Make it slightly anonymous, but it takes off the pressure of actually physically coming in and asking the question. Then you can, it's Carl Grewer. You can find it in Outlook. The surname is Golf Romeo Echo Whiskey Alpha Romeo.
There are no calls coming through at this moment.
Just give it a couple more minutes there, Corin.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, *1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. Thank you.
Interesting enough, over the last week, one thing which has happened in the world of safety, a big step change is about to happen in terms of safety of our workforce staff who are out there trackside. Because again, let's be honest, if someone is going to have an accident, and I think the figures will show this, it isn't going to be the paperclip holder in an office somewhere. And all the people, majority of whom in suits, working in an office, it's very rare that they will actually, you know, fall victim to an incident. It will be the people on the shop floor who are walking down the track who will come to this. So for those of you who don't know, on Friday the 11th of March, which was last Friday just gone, Wessex Route took delivery of the mobile maintenance train. Now, if you haven't seen this, it's an impressive bit of kit. I was one of the lucky ones who were able to go to the southern Bavarian German town of Freilassing last year and to the Robel factory and see the Wessex train effectively being put together. If you don't know what this is, it is essentially a three-vehicle train. It can be driven to site. It's effectively a mobile workshop, and it will allow certain tasks in terms of repair and maintenance to be carried out effectively within the confines of a train. So the middle carriage has no floor in it. The idea is you fill it up with all your tools, you go to site, you do your fixing, then you drive away. It's an absolutely amazing piece of kit. If you want to email me, I do have a briefing, a very short briefing, 6 slides. The project itself is being led by a chap called James Silver. And this mobile maintenance train, which, as I said, arrived on Friday, is going to be berthed in Basingstoke North Yard, which is the up branch sidings. It's the furthest siding from the Reading lines, and it will also use the adjacent siding for maintenance and other requirements associated. For those who are interested, it's going to start operating from the 1st of April, so plus that, 16 days away. It will only be used in T3 possessions initially between Woking and Basingstoke for the first 8 periods, and then the Eastleigh area. Monday and Thursday shifts are going to be used for planned 13-week defects, and essentially I think short-term defects are going to be picked up on the Friday. It's an impressive piece of kit. It is route clear for the whole of Wessex. Restrictions apply. It can go out of gauge for those who are interested, and for those who are even more geeky than I am, it is a W6 gauge. Naturally, it will have an appropriate head code for when that does. It'll have an X-ray head code to indicate it. But 3 engines, one for slow speed, 2 for overall running, maximum speed of 60 miles an hour, with one speed doing 40 in a slow speed engine. Of approximately 1.2. It can operate track circuits and it will be operated by COLAS. I just thought I'd throw that in there because that is a massive step change in terms of safety and safety culture on this route. That is a massive undertaking, and you know, enough respect to the people who've been involved in that project to bring it into a reality. We aren't the first route to get our mobile maintenance trained. We're kind of maybe the third or the fourth, and we're not the first DC route either. I think Kent route had taken theirs first, so naturally we will learn from any things which come up. I just thought I'd throw that in for those interested. So safety in terms of trackside and workforce safety is going to jump up a level, I think, at the end of the month as we start the new financial year with this brand new impressive bit of kit on our route, and it'll be something to really, really be proud of. Thanks to Stampede in the route safety team. So Sam is a compliance and assurance advisor in the safety team. So just to note that if you remember, and you're a, I think it's if you're a line manager, there is an action from John Halsall to complete a health and safety action plan. We must write these and get them into Brooke by the end of the month. So a personal safety action plan. So this is smart format actions, as in specific, measurable, aligned, realistic, time-specific, as an action. What can you do to support that? And I don't think he would mind me doing this, but I do have a copy of the Route Managing Director's personal action plan. Again, as I said, not just John, through Ivan, through all the IMDMs, through the ops managers. Every line manager has to produce one of these and get it in by the end of the month. Just 5 things, what you will do to try and turn around some of the trends in the safety statistics, which in Wessex seemingly in recent months have gone a little bit askew. So as an example with John, he says, I will engage with the senior management team to support the reduction of old close calls with a view ultimately by about 12, 14 month time to have a reduction in the average age of close calls and a reduction in the oldest close calls. So it's just an example of what John there and the R&D is committing to doing for his part to try and bring down some of these figures, which, as I said, have gone slightly the wrong way in recent times. And if those of you who were on John's conference call the other Monday will have heard that firsthand. Thanks for that, Sam. It's much appreciated. Just a reminder that it's a great reminder. So the action plans need to be in. What are you going to do? How are you going to do it? When are you going to do it by? They need to be in by the end of the month, and Brooke is collating those, and you will be chased for absent ones, pretty much. If there's no questions, Corinne, I think I'll call that a day.
We have got one question in the queue for you, Carl. The question comes from the line of...
Mike McKevitt.
Please go ahead, you're live in the call.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Dor. Hi, it's just a quick one. It's probably more of an observation. In terms of our vehicles and people wearing safety belts and stuff like that, have we investigated the possibility of some sort of technology that we could fit to our vehicles whereby you couldn't start the vehicle unless you had your seatbelt on?
It's an interesting one. The honest answer is I don't know, but I think which part of the business do you work in, Mike?
The Delta Change Project.
Okay. I'm not sure it has been investigated, but I will take that away and find out an answer. It's interesting. So in the days when you had all sorts of things in the recent past with people deliberately leaving things on seats so that the seat recognised that something was there, but it wasn't a person. But you would have thought that it would come in, wouldn't it? So I will take an action to do some digging with that. We seem to be getting quite a lot of new vehicles in due course, Mike. I don't know how many, you know, if you do a lot of driving as part of the Delta team. but we had a conversation last week, so things like new generation builds are going to have things in like vehicle trackers. And obviously that, say, sensitive is probably over-egging it a little bit, but it's effectively saying, actually, are people, you know, in maintenance, in operations, across the wider route, when people are alone sometimes, particularly people who attend incidents, they feel a little bit vulnerable. And actually, this isn't going to be used as a spying mechanism. It's going to be used as a welfare check, effectively. And we can send the nearest people to the incident. So I think the technology should exist. You would have thought in 2016, wouldn't you?
Well, I hope so.
It's a fair point. What was your surname, Mike? I will make sure that I get an email back to you.
Yeah, it's actually Mark McKevitt.
Mark, apologies, Mark.
All right.
What was your surname?
McKevitt. McKevitt.
McKevitt, Mark. That's a great question, Mark. As I said, I won't insult you by giving you an incorrect answer. So the honest answer is I don't know, but I will go away with an email as an action in my back pocket. What I will do, I will email the chap called Mr. Redding, who looks after all of our fleet vehicles at Milton Keynes. And if there's one person who knows, it'll be he, and I will forward it back to you. Great question.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
There are no further questions in the queue for you, Carl.
Thank you, Corinne. Well, I'll call that a day. Thank you very much for all of your input today. Thanks to Mark. Thanks to Sam for the email. Be safe. And we'll speak to you same time next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.